The words came back to Patty as she stood, helpless, amid the confusion. Judging by the number of Bentleys and Rolls-Royces abandoned by the quayside, and the furs and jewels worn by the women, a great number of these evacuees were from the moneyed classes. Yet here, no one had any influence. As far as Patty could see, that was principally because no one had actually taken charge of the British evacuation. The ships moored off the coast were private craft, and the French ones might not be friendly to Britain. After all, if the French signed an armistice with Germany, they would be regarded as the enemy. Everything was upside down. The French government had absconded to Vichy, so no help from that quarter. De Gaulle had flown off to London, and she was stuck here, 19, female, and alone in this heaving crowd of desperates, all through her own stubborn pride. The family she'd travelled with had taken one look at the crowds waiting to depart from this port and insisted on trying their luck farther south. For her part, Patty saw more safety in numbers and declared she'd prefer to take her chances at Pont-Verdun. Patty had been adamant, and there was no time for protracted argument. Promising to send on the rest of her luggage, the Trevithicks had deposited her at the quayside with one suitcase and wished her luck.
"Oh, please, please, somebody help me!"
A young woman no older than Patty cried out to no one in particular.
"It's my mother, please, I don't know what to do."
Judging by the girl's clipped accent, she belonged in Mayfair or Belgravia, or one of the home counties.
"Can I help?"
With a regretful glance toward the Navy man in the speedboat, who was now boarding one of the ships, Patty fought her way over.
"What's the matter?" "Oh, thank you."
The young woman grabbed Patty's arm and dragged her through the crowd so forcefully that Patty's small suitcase banged painfully against her thigh.
"Steady on." "Sorry, only I'm so distracted. Mummy's awfully sensible as a rule, but it's the heat and the bombs and everything. She's terribly worked up, you see, having some sort of attack."
The girl hustled Patty through the crowd, achieving with a smile and a polite,
"Excuse me, please,"
what Patty had earlier accomplished by wielding of elbows and the sturdy heels of her leather Oxfords. That was until a pimply youth blocked their way. He took a peanut from a bag he was holding, threw it up in the air, and caught it in his mouth, inches from the girl's face. At her surprised recoil, he grinned and turned to his cronies to make a crude comment, but broke off with a yelp as Patty's elbow connected with his solar plexus.
"Good show,"
the other girl laughingly threw over her shoulder, as they slipped past the rude youth and emerged from the crowd.
"I'm Jean, by the way, and this is my mother, Mrs. Leslie."
She indicated a middle-aged lady who sat on a large trunk, suitcases and hat boxes piled around her like a makeshift fortress. Swaddled to the throat in a mismatched melange of sables and mink, she was clutching a lacy handkerchief, her fist to her chest, panting and gasping for breath. Jean shoved some of the trunks aside to get to her.
"No, don't lose track of the luggage, Jean," Mrs. Leslie managed between pants. "There are thieves everywhere."
The thunder of a distant explosion made her give a faint scream. Her eyes bulged, and her pretty face reddened as she clutched her chest, dragging in air with a horrible, strangled wheeze. Patty smiled reassuringly at the older lady.
"My name's Victoire Bennett, but everyone calls me Patty. Let's see if we can make you more comfortable, Mrs. Leslie. Would you let Jean help you out of those furs for a start?"
Honestly, thought Patty, anyone with a bit of common sense might have thought to do this. But she could tell Mrs. Leslie required gentle handling, so she waited for Jean to unwrap her parent. The removal of her furs didn't seem to calm the older lady, however. She was beginning to hyperventilate in earnest now. Rapidly reviewing and dismissing the contents of her own purse and suitcase, Patty looked around for something into which Mrs. Leslie might breathe.
"Wait here."
She made her way back to the rude young man with the bag of peanuts and snatched it from him.
"Oi," he said. "I need this bag. It's an emergency. Hold out your hands."
Perhaps infected with her urgency, or perhaps simply reacting to her tone of command, the youth did as he was told. She dumped out the peanuts into his cupped hands and took the bag with her. Patty approached Mrs. Leslie's heaving form.
"Now, ma'am," she said in a calm, bracing tone, reminiscent of her own redoubtable nanny from nursery days. "Will you let me help?"
Mrs. Leslie's eyes were wide and trusting as she gazed up at Patty and slowly nodded. That was the trick to inspiring confidence. Never let anyone catch on that you had no idea what you were doing.
"You're going to breathe into this bag for me."